there's a choice involved. Now, there is no choice in physical death. We know that. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We know that appointment's been set. We know that you're going to die, and I'm going to die. I just don't know when nor how it's going to happen. Someone said, I just want to be there when it happens. Oh, you're going to be there, all right. You're going to be there when it happens, but it's going to happen. Amen. We know that. Not a choice in that. But now listen, in the spiritual realm, oh, there's the choice.
Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, Kannapolis area, right near Wyckoff Elementary School. We'd love to have you come join us. We do live stream our services if you can't make it. Sharon Baptist Concord on Facebook. Our services are 10:45 on Sunday mornings, 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Youth meets at 5 p.m. on Sundays. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Look in your copy of God's Word, if you will, please, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 12. John chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 24 and verse 25 and preach a message about life emerging from death. Life emerging from death. John chapter 12, verse 24 and verse 25. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. And he says this, verily, verily, that means truthfully, truthfully, very important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Notice what Jesus said about this corn of wheat. We might say a grain or a corn of wheat, he says. Before it can bring forth much fruit, it has to be placed in the ground and it has to die. If it die, Jesus said, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now we know this passage, in this passage, Jesus is speaking primarily of himself, about his death and resurrection. But what he says here about the corn of wheat that applies to himself, it also applies to every single one of us, all of us who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He further said in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. That means it's going to die. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Here's the difference here. Here's the issue about the seed. It's between abiding alone in barrenness and then dying, bringing forth blessedness, isn't it? So he says if it's planted and abides alone, nothing happens. But if you plant it and it dies, it brings forth life and life abundantly, doesn't it? So then the very principle of this message today is the three words, if it die. And you know that the Scriptures teach us that the servant is no greater than his Lord. Amen? So if Jesus died, then that says that we must die too, doesn't it? And we know that the Scriptures teach us that all are going to die. Someone said in our senior meeting last week, what's the percentage of those people who die? 100%. Everybody's going to die. So we know that we're going to die. Don't we all want, or don't we all have a desire to bring forth fruit for our Lord? Not just a little bit of fruit, or not just some amount of fruit, but he says here, much fruit. The whole message here is tied up in these three little words, if it die. If it dies, then life comes forth, doesn't it? Now, we know that, of course, we're all going to die physically. But you see, the premise here is, the principle is somewhat different with physical death and spiritual death. Look at the physical aspect of life. We move from life to to death, don't we? We admire newborn babies, beautiful life that's given. We watch the life grow, we watch the life mature just in our lives, and we mature, then we grow old, and we what? We die. But you see, the process in the spiritual life is exactly opposite. We don't move from life to death, we move from death to life. So when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, we spiritually die to self, and then we move from death unto life, and Jesus says here, to life eternal. Paul said in his writings, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you gave yourself to the Lord Jesus and you were baptized, immersed in water, that is a very symbol of our dying to self and being raised to walk in what? A newness of life. So that's a typical or a typology of the seed planted in the ground. It dies, it comes alive and brings forth not just fruit, but it brings forth much fruit. Somebody might say, well, no, I've never seen that principle in the Bible before. Well, I want to show it to you today. I want to share that with us today. Now, to a Christian, always to a Christian, death always precedes life. That's the spiritual principle that we cannot evade. If we don't plug into that spiritual truth, then we'll never have the fullness of life and the blessedness of life, and we'll never be able to bring forth fruit for the Lord Jesus as really we want to and as He wants us to. So then, let us kind of look at these three words in detail. If it die. What does it mean to die? Now, that's a pretty morbid subject to a lot of people, but it shouldn't be to a Christian, because if you're a Christian, you've already died. To the old man, the old person. If you've been baptized, you know you walk, raised to walk in a newness of life. So we understand something about that principle of death, don't we? If we could get a better understanding from the physical realm of death, it would help us better understand the spiritual realm of death. So allow me to do this morning. Allow me to share some things about physical death and apply those to spiritual life as well. First of all, thinking of death, if it die. When someone dies, it represents the completeness of their life, doesn't it? So death, first of all, represents completeness. The completeness of somebody's life when they pass away or die, it stuns us, doesn't it? And it really startles us, doesn't it? Many times when unexpectedly someone passes away, Lord takes somebody home that's precious to us, it stuns us, it startles us. But notice this about the completeness of death. It touches every single relationship that we have in our life. At death, whether someone likes to believe it or not, we leave everything behind. And we leave everybody behind. Now, I know some folks think they're going to send it on ahead or take it ahead or something, but no, no. You take out of this world what you brought into it, amen? We leave everything behind when we die. It's completed. We leave everybody behind. That relationship is completed. Now, many of us, probably all of us here that are adults, have been able to identify with death in the life of our loved ones, our friends. But we don't like to talk about death because there's little bits and pieces in our lives that we don't want to die. We don't want them to pass away. We don't want them to be complete. We want to keep those few things that are so precious to us for ourselves, don't we? And because of that, many times, we don't have the completeness of the spiritual life that we ought to have because we've got to let it all die, not just pieces of it, not just most of it, all of it. These things we don't want to surrender to the Lord. We want to keep them to ourselves. But you see, spiritual death, physical death, you've got to leave everything behind in the death to raise in newness of life. It's completeness. It represents completeness. So you see, the death has an element of completeness about it, doesn't it? But look at something else about death. Death has an element of costliness about it too. Now, some of us, probably most of us, know something about what it is, the cost of a precious loved one passing away. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about the pain. I'm talking about the parting. I'm talking about the separation, how it costs us. And you know, we don't shed tears too frequently, do we? But when you stand over a casket of a loved one, it could be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter. It could be a good close friend. But when you stand and look at the pale face of that one who's precious to you, who the Lord has taken away in death, we begin to realize the cost of death, don't we? Amen. Well, we come face to face with it. We see it in the parting of the loved one. We're seeing in the very pain that it causes us. And you know something I find it takes in my life, or yours, it takes many times, it takes not only months, but it takes years for time to kind of heal that hurt. How much it cost us. If you want a good example, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to His crucifixion. In great agony in the garden, you begin to see the costliness of death. What it cost the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and to die for your sins and for my sins. So death is very, very costly, isn't it? Amen. The way to the cross is death. Death is complete. Death is costly. But look at something else about death. Death has an element of calmness about it. Now, what are you talking about, preacher, death being calm? Listen to me. When death comes to a family member or a friend who has really sorely suffered. Now, all of us know somebody who's really suffered just prior to their death. And when that time comes that God calls them home and they pass from this life, here's what we would normally say most often. Well, praise God, they're at rest. Praise God, the battle's over. Praise God, the war is won. Praise God, the victory is achieved and received in their life. Now they go to be with the Lord and they're deeply at rest. All that weariness that they went through with all that pain and suffering, all that weakness in their life that they experienced, that you just agonize with them day by day by day until the Lord took them home. They're through now with pain, suffering. They're through now with temptation. They're through now with all the adversity of life. They're through with all these things. We look down at their peaceful face and we say, how calm. So you see, death does have a calmness about it. Here's my question. How much calm and how much peace do we have in our Christian lives? I'm talking about that peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, death has about it an element of completeness. It has about it an element of costliness. It has an element about it, an element of calmness about it. But I want you to see something else now. I'm talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life compared to death. Death has about it a change. A change. Now listen, change is the fundamental element involved in death. When we say someone has died, someone has passed away, we don't mean, do we, that they cease to exist? No. We don't mean that they cease to exist. They don't cease to exist. Death is a cessation of life in this environment. What we do mean is this. They have ceased to live in this environment, and they're changed now. They've moved from this environment to a spiritual environment over there, and they've just changed from one environment to another. They don't cease to exist. A lot of folks think when you die, I know there's some religions who teach that you just burn up like an old stick and that's the end of it. No. We just change environments when we die. Well, the physical death relationship is through at death. The spiritual relationship, when you die in Christ, it doesn't ever end. It goes on and on and on forever and forever and forever. It just moves from this realm to the spiritual realm on the other side. You don't cease to exist. You just change places of abode. Amen? All right. When we were lost, let me put it this way. When you were lost, you were alive to sin. And your life was controlled by Satan. And at his will, his whim in your life, he moved you, took you. And you were alive to sin. You were so conscious of it. But when you were alive to sin, you were almost dead to Christ that you seldom ever even noticed that he existed. But when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he becomes Lord of your life, and by the way, the New Testament does not teach one thing about being a Christian and not having Jesus as Lord of your life. He is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Amen? But when you die spiritually, or to the old man, you are then a conscious, you're alive to Christ, and his life becomes your life. Then's when you become dead to sin. When you receive the Lord Jesus, what a change in your life takes place. And if there's not much of a change that takes place, you might want to go back and check up on that salvation experience, because old things are passed away, the Bible says, and behold, all things become new. That sin you were so alive to, those habits that you did, those sins you committed before you came to know Jesus, now then, they bother you. And you want to be rid of those things. When you die to Christ in the new birth, then those things are put away, those habits, those sins. Now, you don't have to, and this is a real problem for a lot of people, you don't have to achieve that spiritual life. A lot of folks just try to work, and they work, and they work, and they hope, and they pray, and they say, well, if I've lived a good life, then I'm going to get to heaven. They work and work and work. You don't have to work to achieve that life. Now, why do you say that, Pastor? Here's why I say that. That life was achieved for you when Jesus Christ went to the cross and gave his life. There's where the battle was won. There's where the war was waged. And there is where he achieved for us the abundant life in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to work to achieve it. What we have to do is accept it. The Lord's already achieved it for us, hasn't he? So then, death has an element of change. But there's something else about death we need to see. There's a choice involved. Now, there is no choice in physical death. We know that. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We know that appointment's been set. We know that you're going to die, and I'm going to die. I just don't know when nor how it's going to happen. Someone said, I just want to be there when it happens. Oh, you're going to be there, all right. You're going to be there when it happens, but it's going to happen, amen? We know that. Not a choice in that. But now listen, in the spiritual realm, oh, there's the choice. Go back to those three words Jesus said. If that corn of wheat falls in the ground and abides alone, it produces nothing. But he says, if it die. Now, there's a choice that you and I have to make to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and die to the old self and come alive in Christ, and his life is birthed into us by the Spirit of God from above. Those are different principles when you accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The spiritual realm works altogether different from the physical realm. It works from death to life, not from life to death. So it's so different that it is. Now, it is here, and it is now when we must make the choice to those three words, if it die. You've got to make the choice in your life to give your life to the Lord Jesus and die to the old self. The Spirit of God will make you alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. We sing the old hymn. I don't know if we sing it so much here, but my home church did. Part of the old hymn was, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall become whiter than snow." That's a picture of the old life dying and the new life coming alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we sing those words, but do we really mean those words? Do we really understand what we're saying and singing when we sing those words? Do those words really portray the choice that you might have made in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life? So what's the choice you have to make? Life or death? Just like Moses told Israel, the choice is before you today. Choose life or you choose death. Have you made that choice? The death of the old life, here's what comes with it. Let me just give you a kind of a little history. If you've chosen the old life, just stay in it. All the ramifications of the old life without Christ is terrible habits, terrible sin. And when you die, listen, when you die without Christ, you only have a continuation forever of that same kind of life. But if you give your heart to Jesus, you see, and come from death to life, all the wonderful things Jesus died for in this world, you can enjoy day by day the abundant life in Christ, and they just grow and we mature like the plant. We mature, it gets strong, it gets tall, and we just, it goes on and on and on and forever, just more wonderful things forever. You can only grow into fruitfulness if you die. Now, we don't like to talk about death. We don't like death in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, think about it. What are the blessings of the death to raise in newness of Christ over the old physical death that leaves us nothing but pain and sorrow and separation and sin and horrible torment forever and ever and ever? Well, when you give your heart to Jesus, Paul says, then we realize what it is to be bearing in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ will be made manifest in our lives as well. So each of us must go to the Lord Jesus Christ personally, individually, and render our life to total surrender unto Him, die to the old self, and plead with our Lord and trust our Lord to help us live a life that when that if it die comes to life, that we'll live a life that's pleasing to Him, one that's not just fruitful or even bears much fruit, but bears more fruit. That's God's will for our lives. So you see how life emerges from death? Someone has said, if you never receive Christ, you die, and that's it. Others say, if you die twice, die to the old self, you die physically, but you live forever. So think about that. Think about the choice that you have to make. It's not going to be made for you. Mama can't make it. The church can't make it. Preacher can't make it. Nobody can make that choice for you except you. You have to choose to die. And if it die, it moves from the barrenness of abiding alone to the blessedness of much and more fruit for our precious Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to make that choice today. If you haven't, you certainly do. You say, well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I made the choice to receive Jesus, but I'm just not living that kind of life that you talked about, this fruitful, abundant life. Listen, you got to go back and resurrender everything in your life. Maybe there's some of those little bits of precious things in your life that you don't want to turn loose of. You've just hung on to those things. You cling to those things. You love those things. You cherish those things. You hold them dear. You got to let them go. If you're ever going to be fruitful for the Lord and be a blessing to other people, we're going to have to let it all die. And when it does, God will take it and bring forth life. And life abundant for you, life eternal for you, and your fruit will be a blessing to all those you come into contact with. Amen? Let's pray. And thank you, Lord, that you explained to us. Help us understand, Lord, that there's a choice we have to make. It's a choice to die to self, that we might be alive in Christ. If there's one or more here this day, or those who may hear my voice, who has never surrendered to die to the old self and to come alive in Christ by the very regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God, by God's grace, they may do so at this moment. And then, Lord Jesus, for us who have known that we have given our heart and life to you, we've died to the old self, but many times those old habits, those old sins that we had turned away from, the devil brings them up again, and he tries to trick our lives and make us think we've never died to Jesus. We've never had the new life to begin with. And he tells us in our hearts and our minds, he'll say, who do you think you are? The way you're living, sins you're committing, what you're doing. You can't be a Christian. Lord Jesus, help us this day to have the victory. We know that victory only comes as we die to self and come alive in Christ. Help us all this play in this place. Help our church to come alive, Lord Jesus, for you, that we might bring forth fruit to your honor, glory, and praise. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Sister Pam's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. If He, the living Spirit of God, has spoken to your heart about a need in your life, something you know's there that needs to be dealt with, what better place, what better time than right now to allow the Lord Jesus to make that change in your life? Would you do it? While we stand to sing, Sister Pam leads us. I'll meet you and help you if you'll come today. Beloved, I'll share just a bit of my testimony before I came to know the Lord Jesus. I trusted in everything and everybody but Jesus. I tried and I tried and I tried to find fulfillment and satisfaction in my life. Nothing brought it. Nothing. And then one day, I bowed my knees and I opened up my heart and said, Lord Jesus, I'm giving it all to you. I died that day, but I came to life the same day. And that life that Amanda sang about, that those leaves begin to unfold, they just unfold and they grow and they mature and they grow strong. And you know, I'm almost 75 years old. I'm still growing. Still gonna grow. When this life is over, I'm going home. On the spiritual side of life, amen?
Amen.
What about you? What about you? Where are you headed in your life? If you change nothing by the way you're living right now, where are you going to end up? Better think about it. You still got time to make a choice if you need to. Today's the day. Behold's the day. Now's the time, Jesus says. Beloved, don't put it off. Jesus is coming soon. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow together and let's pray. Thanking our wonderful Lord that He alone can bring life out of death.
Thank you again for joining Sharon Baptist Church. That was Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We are open for services Sundays and Wednesdays, 10:45 on Sundays. We do live stream that service on Facebook, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We live stream that one as well. Youth meets at 5 p.m. on Sundays. Find out more about us again on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.